Hello, Stallions. My name is Agnes Clara DeCoombe. For those of you that know me and for those of you that don't, welcome to the family. This is a podcast made for the people, by the people, a place where I tackle difficult and thought-provoking topics, and a place where you relate and find a better you. So sit back, grab your snacks, and let's have a chat. What's up? What's popping? What's happening, everybody? We're back for another episode and a long-awaited one, in fact. And I would say this issue is what pushed me to do styling in the first place. So I've been looking forward to this episode. Today's special guest is a body image coach working with women who don't like the way they look. She's very blunt on her website. That's literally the first thing you see on her website. She trained in Erickson Coaching and has been a coach for the past 5 years. Finally, she has coached women from 20 countries and 6 continents. Her approach is culturally sensitive, and her coaching is effective for anyone of any background. I present to you, Jerry. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, guys.
How are you doing, really?
Well, I'm a bit tired, to be honest. I've done quite a lot of work, but I'm really happy to be here. I'm glad
Thank
to be finally talking about this.
So where are you from originally?
So I am born in Indonesia, for people who aren't familiar with that. Bali is in Indonesia.
That always helps.
Yeah. My country is right below Singapore. It's in Southeast Asia. I went to school in the UK. Currently, I am back in Indonesia because of the pandemic.
Okay. Perfect. So why body image? What pushed you to take on that route?
I've always been asked this a lot, and there's so many ways and so many reasons contribute to this, but first is, I think I'm just really sick and tired of seeing women who I know are so capable, so strong, so skilled, doubt themselves of things, you know, they doubt themselves and their looks a lot. And it's really tiring for me to see women go through that all the time, especially I grew up with a lot of really strong women, really independent women, really confident women. A lot of women in my family are working women, and my grandma got divorced, and so she had to raise 5 kids on her own. So, you know, growing up with the notion that women can be independent, women are capable, and women can achieve, I think it really frustrates me when I see women doubt their abilities and doubt what they can do, and doubt whether they can chase after their dreams because of simply how they look. And this became evident to me because when I became a coach, coincidentally, a lot of my clients were women. So initially, I didn't really have a niche. It's just a lot of women was coming to me. And as I was coaching them, the same thing came up all the time. I don't feel good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not pretty enough to wear this outfit. I'm not good enough to go chase after the things that I want. I am not good enough. And when I asked, like, where is this coming from? What makes you feel like you're not good enough? It's like, oh, you know, I see women on social media and they all look so pretty. Everyone looks so perfect.
Tell me about it.
And the more I listen to these women speak, it's less actually about things going on around them and it's more about how they see themselves. I don't believe that I'm capable. I don't think I can make it. I don't think I'm pretty enough. It's I. So I'm currently a psychology student myself, and that's how I learned about the term body image. So body image is simply the way you perceive the way you look. The word that I'm using here is perceive. So it's not necessarily an accurate depiction of what your body is, but it's how you see it. So I could be my size right now and think I'm really, really skinny, or I'm really, really overweight. It's just how I perceive my body. So that's how I got into body image, and then I got into coaching because, like, I believe that people are capable, and I wanted to support people in believing that they're capable so they can go and achieve what they want.
I like that. So have you found that because of coaching you are more confident in yourself?
Yeah, because the interesting thing that I did was when I did my coaching certification, they warned us at the start. They're like, a lot of the people come into this coaching certification and they come out a different person on the other end.
Yeah.
this might happen to you. Some personal growth might happen. You might rethink your career, your life, and what you want to do with it. It is completely normal. Coaching is as transformative to the client as it is to us when we're studying it, not when we're practicing it.
I love it.
So the coaching school that I went to was very rigorous. A lot of hours was needed. There was a lot of psychological theory, a lot of practice rounds. And so, yeah, it also, like, it made me more confident because it made me realize how much I had to offer within myself.
That's so good. And I love that you're sharing that with people on your website, which we'll get into a little later. But I wanted to go into body dysmorphia for a little bit. We're not going to be doing a whole coaching on me per se, but I have dealt with body dysmorphia for a very long time. And I don't think it will ever leave, but I've just gotten better. I would look into the mirror for hours a day and literally pick out, oh my gosh, I hate my thighs today. I hate this. I hate that. And it becomes this thing where your mental now starts to trick you to think, girl, you need to work on this and that. And no, I don't need to work on any of these things. I'm perfectly fine the way that I am. But a huge part of body dysmorphia is our mental, isn't it? I want you to talk to us a little bit more about what it is exactly.
First of all, I want to thank you for sharing this so openly. I know it's not easy to talk about these things. Mm-hmm. And for anyone listening to this podcast, I want everyone to also know that it's common. Mm-hmm. Women, a lot of women go through this. Trust me, I've worked with hundreds of women. If I have a dime for any time someone says that, I would get myself a really bomb outfit already. Mm-hmm. So it's really common. Let's go into what body dysmorphia is before mm-hmm. we go into how it affects us. So first, basically, it's when we fixate on our perceived flaws. Again, here I'm using the word perceived because it might not actually be a flaw. Like a cellulite isn't a flaw. It is just fat, you know, that looks that way in your body. And it's normal because yeah. some parts of your body has more fat than the other. Mm. It is completely natural. But it's in some cultures, it's perceived as a flaw. So body dysmorphia is when we fixate on that perceived flaw to the point that it affects us in a way that it makes us avoid social situations. And also, please note that like body dysmorphia is being talked a lot, and a lot of the things in the mental health community that's being spoken about right now is self-diagnosis. So if you think that you're fixating a lot on these flaws and it's really affecting you, I really do suggest that you go to a psychiatrist, to a psychologist, because body dysmorphia can only be diagnosed by a trained psychologist or a psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm. And so I would continue to fixate on these things, but being an athlete in high school, playing volleyball, soccer, basketball, your body stays in good shape. So it wasn't as bad. Once I got to college, I didn't continue playing sports, so I turned to the gym. But the scary thing was I saw the gym as an escape, but also as a place to work on these things I didn't like. I always wanted to go into modeling, and so when I did, that didn't help me either. And anyone listening, if you're going into the modeling industry, if your mental is not strong, you do risk being beat up. So Jerry, what are the tips that you give your clients that can help them?
First is to recognize the thoughts. Mm-hmm. I think when we go through the motions and we have these negative thoughts about ourselves, we often associate ourselves with it. Mm-hmm. So it's not that my thighs are too big. It's I am currently thinking that my thighs are too big. Do you notice the difference? Like be able to just recognize that thought and recognize that you're having that thought, because when you recognize it, then you're not going to immerse yourself fully in it. You can see yourself from a third person perspective and see, oh, okay, well, Jerry thinks that her thighs are too fat. So the first step is just to recognize those thoughts. And it's really important to do that so that you start to notice the patterns. Okay, at what times do I feel like my thighs are too fat? Does Jerry feel like her thighs are too fat when she wears shorts? What is the trigger to that? When you are able to identify the patterns to a behavior, then it's easier for you to alter it the way you want it to be. So if you want to stop fixating on the way your thighs look or your arms look, the first step is to recognize that it is happening and you're having these thoughts. That's how I would start. But obviously, I'm not going to give like blanket advice to everyone.
Advice, but it doesn't work for everyone.
Yeah, about body dysmorphia. So I would say start there.
I think a lot of what triggers this is the ideal body type that you see on social media. You talked about a client that was looking at social media and trying to mimic that. And a lot of these women are put on pedestals. Right now, you've seen it's the whole curvy body, small waist, small thighs. And a lot of that is not achievable without A, plastic surgery, or B, those genetics. And so what's your thought on plastic surgery being the rescue to all of these insecurities?
I think in general, like, even as a body image coach, I haven't been able to identify like where I stand completely mm-hmm. with plastic surgery. I do find that it's a very personal choice. So I'm never going to shame any of my clients and say, no, don't do it, or definitely do it. Because it is a very extremely personal choice. And the only person that can answer the question whether it's suitable for you is you. What I will say is, based on my experience, I've heard tons of women that I work with say that, oh, I wish I could just have plastic surgery, like this whole thing would go away. Saying from someone who's also listened to a bunch of women having plastic surgery to fix their body image, it doesn't go away.
It doesn't, and you just find other things to fixate on and become botched, and it's a downward spiral from there.
It's just this like vicious mm-hmm. cycle, because... Mm-hmm. A lot of the time, like, we think that, oh, if I could just fix this part of my body, then I'll be happy. That's why we want to fix our bodies, right? Like, when I ask my clients, like, okay, why do you want a smaller nose? Why do you want a bigger butt? Why do you want smaller arms? Oh, because I want to be pretty. I want people to like me. But when I really dig deep down there, why do you want to be pretty? Why do you want people to like you? Why do you want people to love you? Because it's going to make me feel happy, because I'm going to feel whole again. And we think that by fixing the way we look, it's just going to make this whole problem go away.
Right.
But because that's the narrative that's been fed to us by, you know, well, plastic surgery advertisements, mm-hmm. media, mm-hmm. movies that talk about plastic surgery. Whereas like in real life, you can get people to love you and be in relationships that are fulfilling and have your dream life and be happy without having to fix your nose or have smaller arms or a bigger butt. Right. These things are possible. We just don't talk about it.
I think taking it from the perspective of ego, because let's call it what it is, right? I think that's why people go on things like Tinder, for instance. Half of the time, girls or guys go on there for validation. And a lot of people crave relationships because of that as well. Boyfriends or girlfriends could feed each other's ego. When you're going into something like that, it's just another downward spiral, right? You know that you're not going to fix anything because you're just going to want more compliments. Compliments don't solve much. You need to learn how to love yourself. And so I guess my next question is, what do you think loving yourself means, Sherry? Is it really achievable?
Mm-hmm. As hard as that is to believe, mm-hmm. I think some of us have just grown up with such negative relationships with ourselves, and we don't even realize that we don't have a healthy relationship with ourselves, because every relationship that exists in media or exists in our society or perceived relationships is either with our family, or romantic relationships, or with friends or coworkers. Only, I feel like, in the past maybe 5 to 10 years, that relationships with ourselves have come up constantly in media mm-hmm. and, like, you know, in pop culture too. And it's highlighting, you know, how important it is for us to have relationships with ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, self-love has really become a buzzword for like the past few years. But then again, like, that's what I'm saying, like, it is achievable. But any type of change you want to have in your life, it needs to be gradual. You need to form new habits. You need to change your perspective on things. And all these changes aren't easy to make. And so the reason why people feel like changing is difficult, whatever change it is because you need a lot of support and you need to be consistent. And it's the same with self-love. You need to be consistent in being kind to yourself. You need to get a lot of support from your environment to be able to achieve that change, to have a better relationship with yourself. But yes, it is possible.
I like that. And the fact that you mentioned support, I think even by talking about your issues, you're figuring out that so many people around you are willing to support you. The first time I talked about my struggle with food was with my best friend and past roommate. She was like, oh, I didn't know you were going through all of that. But there was a weight lifted off of my shoulders. When you keep things in too long, you risk having it explode at a given time. So talking about it is obviously, I mean, talking about it is better, but that's obviously easier said than done, but very essential.
It is. It is hard to start that conversation. But if anyone listening to this is thinking about starting that conversation and you find it really, really difficult, just imagine what your future self would say were you starting this conversation right now. If you start this conversation right now, it's going to lead to you healing, understanding what's really going on. Eventually it's going to lead you to feel better. And imagine that version of you that feels better about herself, that feels more confident about herself, that feels that weight off her chest and off her shoulders. What is she going to say to the you right now who's about to have this conversation? I just really want people to imagine that. And I also want to explain like the scientific side of why talking about it makes people feel better. We, you know, maybe sometimes people think like, oh, it's just talking. No, it's not just talking. When you talk to people, your brain starts to construct a narrative. So when you say like, oh, you know, over the past couple of weeks, I haven't been feeling good about my body. So as you talk, then your brain realizes, oh, this is what's going on. It starts to create a narrative. Then it starts to identify, oh, this is what triggers it. Oh, this is where things went wrong. And sometimes you can't do that when you talk to yourself. When it's all just in your head, it gets jumbled up easily. But when you speak about it to other people, and also like people respond to you, right? Your friend might be like, oh, but you know, like, I noticed that you haven't been feeling well lately. You've been telling me a lot that this is happening. Getting that like third person perspective also really helps, you know? So this is why talking is important. This is why like mental health professionals, coaches, everyone in the well-being field is like, talk about it, because it is powerful. Because even the synapses in our brain work differently when we speak and when we think about our own like experiences.
Definitely. You don't know what people are hiding themselves. Once you open up, someone else might open up and you might get a lot of benefits and tips from that as well. People think, oh, that's just normal. So many guys and girls go through that. But ultimately, you want peace of mind. So I encourage you guys to talk to someone.
It is. It's like one of the hardest things to do, but I find that it's one of the highest forms of self-love.
Absolutely. So, Jared, could you talk to us about your body image program?
So, I have this program called the Body Confidence Program. It's a 4-step program that I created out of my experience working with hundreds of women who go through body image issues. And what the Body Confidence Program does, it takes you from feeling like you're not good enough, from feeling too fat, too skinny, and, you know, it takes you from feeling really annoyed that people are constantly commenting on your appearance to making you feel confident, being able to wear whatever you want and really go after what you want, go after your career or your aspirations without being held back. My program helps you to stop, you know, holding yourself back and really go after what you want with confidence.
Do you find it hard to advertise these types of things? What I like about you is that you have worked with many different types of people with different backgrounds. Sometimes I feel like with a lot of these programs, we're being fed the same thing, which leaves us thinking, can we really get better and actually become that confident?
And that's one of the big parts of my program. So my program is divided into 4 parts, and the first one is literally for us to discuss what feeling good enough is like for you. what being confident is like for you. Mm-hmm. Just last week, I had a session with my client. And she's like, I don't think I can ever be confident. I don't think I can ever be confident. She just kept saying that. I'm like, okay, that's all right. Now, can you tell me what being confident looks like to you? She was silent for a few minutes. And she's like, I actually never thought about that. Yeah. So I gave her an assignment. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, think about what confidence looks like to you. Let's come back to this next week. And then this week she told me, okay, well, you know, for me, being confident is being able to wear what I want, loving myself with or without makeup, you know, loving myself on a bad day and a good day. It's like having love towards myself that isn't conditional on how I look and how good I look that day. So that's what being confident is like to me. And mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, well, how do you feel about that? And she's like, actually, now that I've said it, and now that I have this idea of what confidence is, it actually feels more achievable. Like, exactly.
When you put it in words, it actually doesn't sound that bad.
Exactly. Yeah. But you gotta take the time and identify that.
Yeah, if someone asked me, what does confident look like? Well, I will respond, Zendaya. It looks like Kylie Jenner. I think we associate confidence with celebrities or someone who embodies that characteristic. But we can achieve these things ourselves. And to everyone listening, I'll make sure to leave the link to the website in the episode bio, so you can have access to her program and such. And so to conclude this episode, I wanted to play a quick fire game called I Can Relate. So, Jerry, when was the last time you were nervous?
I had an appointment today with a new client. I was a bit nervous about that.
I bet that happens every single time.
People say that, oh, like, you're a body image coach, like, you must be so confident in yourself. Like, no, as much as I'm good at what I do, and I'm very confident with my skills and the expertise I bring to the table.
Right.
I'm also human. And sometimes I wake up and I don't feel good and I don't feel confident. So that's why I was nervous.
We love to hear that. And I'm sure that we can all relate. Next question. The last time you felt proud?
I was pretty proud of getting out of bed this morning and doing my morning routine.
I like that. The last time you cried?
Oh, this is kind of embarrassing, mm-hmm. but I've never seen snow in my life up to a month ago.
Right.
So I have gone to countries with snow in it.
But you've never seen it.
Just not when it was snowing. So mm-hmm. I've been to Japan, I've been to China, both countries, mm-hmm. snow. And I just coincidentally was never there when it was snowing. Mm-hmm. But I was in London a few weeks back. And it started snowing, which to people who don't live in the UK, it's not common for London to snow or most parts of the UK. So it started snowing. I saw snow for the very first time and I cried out of happiness because I just never seen anything like that before. I grew up in a tropical country.
The next one is the last time you did self-care.
Last night by going to bed early.
I love that. I think people generally associate self-care with pampering, but a good long sleep is very good for us. The last series or movie on Netflix that you watched?
IT Crowd. It is a very British TV show. It's very, anyone into British, sarcastic, dry humor or geek culture or previously into Big Bang Theory, I think you guys will like it.
Oh, Big Bang, yeah.
And finally, what makes you feel confident?
Believing that I am enough.
Amazing. Jerry, do you have any last comments for my listener?
If any of you is going through a bad day or what I call a bad body image day, if you're feeling like you're not confident enough or you're not feeling good enough about yourself, I just want everyone to know that we all go through that. Even your most confident looking celebrities, your mom, the strongest, most confident people in your life, we all go through this, but we can get through this. And especially with everything that's going on in the world, I think a lot of people aren't feeling the most confident in themselves and their abilities. But whether you believe or not that you're capable, you are capable.
On that note, subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. You guys share on all social media platforms. And on that note, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Your girl is out.